The signs of October in Massachusetts are all around us. The changing leaves, the pumpkin-flavored everything, the marching bands. Yes, the marching bands. Honk, an annual festival of activist street bands, returns to the streets of Cambridge and Somerville this weekend for the eighth year. But really, just how activist are these bands today? Or has the civic commitment that first inspired the Honk Festival been eclipsed by the easy fun of a weekend dancing in the streets? It's the subject of this week's Artery segment, where we talk to artists, curators, and critics around town about what's exciting them in the Boston art scene. And joining us today is Somerville-based musician and writer Amelia Mason. Hi there, Amelia.
Hi.
So, Amelia, for people who don't know, first of all, just describe what happens at the Honk Festival.
Basically, 25 or so marching bands completely invade Somerville and Cambridge, with the government's permission, of course. They take over Davis Square on Saturday. They have a parade that goes down Mass Ave to Harvard Square on Sunday, and they kind of merge with the Oktoberfest.
Oh, cool. There. Now, earlier this week, you attended the rehearsal of one of the honk bands, Boston's Dirty Water Brass Band. Here's their rendition of the Stevie Wonder song, Signed, Sealed, Delivered. So let's talk a little bit more about the idea that we introduced in the introduction to this segment. What exactly is an activist street band?
Honk was founded by bands that were politically active. It's a newer kind of movement. The band that founded Honk, it's called Second Line Social Aid and Pleasure Society Brass Band. They are sort of modeled on the New Orleans style of music and community effort. And they were very active in anti-war protests around the time we invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. They were very active in the Occupy protests. And they noticed a trend of other bands like that around the country, and they wanted to bring them together.
Okay, so this question about whether or not that activist streak remains in Honk, is that something that a lot of people are wondering?
Yeah, I've definitely had people ask me that. Actually, when I was working on this piece that I wrote about Honk, my friends were like, so what makes them activist? I think that it's something that's changing for them, honestly, and it's something that they struggle with. Honk itself has taken on a life of its own, and it's valuable for bringing the community together and creating a great event, but it's a little bit distinct from where the bands originated.
Okay, so we actually raised this question a little earlier this week with Trudy Cohen. She's one of the founding members of the Second Line Social Aid and Pleasure Society Brass Band, as you mentioned, the group that created Honk, and here's what she had to say.
We do find ourselves wondering if the public face of Honk clearly gives the message of what an activist street band is, and we're trying to address it.
So that brings up a question I have about the second half of the Second Line Social Aid and Pleasure Society's name, because what's implied in there, social aid, is that there's actual work going on in the community, right?
It does imply that. They're modeled on a tradition in New Orleans, which began in churches, and they were doing community relief and that sort of thing and raising money, and then they sort of split off into a secular organization, and it also involved parading around the streets. So it started in the sort of social work that they were doing, and then it kind of expanded, and those are called social aid and pleasure clubs. And we've actually got one coming here for Honk. They're called the Original Big Seven Social Aid and Pleasure Club, and they are from the 7th Ward in New Orleans.
And I guess some examples of what the Original Big Seven Social Aid and Pleasure Club have done, like helping rebuild homes after Hurricane Katrina, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, they sound like a really great group. Let's get a sense as to some of the music and what they sound like. Now, they're playing a special role in this year's Honk.
Yeah, so they're actually, they're leading the parade. It's sort of a gesture. They were invited here after their annual parade on Mother's Day. Someone shot at the parade and injured 19 people. No one died, but it was really traumatic for them, and they ended up organizing a whole new parade to kind of redo the whole thing in June. And Honk kind of wanted to honor that and sort of as a gesture of solidarity, invited them up here to lead the parade.
Mm-hmm. Now, we spoke to Ed Buckner, one of the founding members of the original Big Seven. We talked to him a little earlier this week, and we asked him about coming up to Boston and leading Honk and what that means to him. And here's what he said.
Leading Honk means so much to me. A brother hand in hand always make another brother feel better. When in a time of tragedy and you just come through something, that brother still reaches his hand out and saying, I love you, man. Come on up to Boston. Let's do this thing together. You know, it's beautiful. It's you can't get it better than that.
So, Amelia, I get the sense in listening to Ed that it seems like, in a way, just being in the streets together as a community is a form of activism for some of these groups.
It seems that maybe activism isn't the word for it. It's certainly a social act to play on the streets. And I think it's a very, very valuable one. Looking at how Honk has evolved and how the thing that's really resonated with people is actually this part where they're just appearing in public and making people party and bringing people in the community together in this other way that's not necessarily community service oriented. They should embrace it and go in that direction, which they seem to be, and they're evaluating it. And when I spoke to Mary Curtin of the Dirty Water Brass Band, she talked about how they do that, but it's received a bit differently here in Boston than in New Orleans, and here she is.
What's interesting, though, about New Orleans is it's part of the culture where it isn't necessarily part of the culture up here. So you do have to kind of sometimes cajole people. Like, we were in Central Square last week, and we sort of made the rounds, and people either went out with us or they just were flabbergasted that someone just would just do that. And no one took offense. And I feel that that's part of New Orleans tradition. People join in or at least appreciate it. And I think at the basic level, that's really an important element that Honk brings to the table in Boston.
Music isn't for only one special set of people to make. And something that Honk and the bands in Honk really think about is trying to blur the line between the audience and the performer.
Okay, Amelia, I'm going to be honest. Originally, I was thinking, oh man, maybe there is no activism in Honk, but you brought me around.
Have I?
Yes, you have. No, really, you have. Is there a particular band that you're looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm super excited to see perhaps Contraption. They're from England. It's sort of this like avant-garde, absurdist marching band. They're really, really good players.
Well, Amelia Mason is a musician and writer based in Somerville. She's been talking to us today about Honk, a festival of activist street bands taking place this weekend around Somerville and Cambridge. Amelia, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, there's more information and a link to Amelia's artery post on Honk at radioboston.org. And let's go out now with a little bit more of that last band that Amelia talked about, perhaps Contraption.
I ain't got no cousin, no cousin.
Yeah, I'm pro-Honk, no doubt about it. That's our program for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.